Hi, I'm Ron Olson, one of the pastors here at Altitude Church, and I'm really glad to join you online with this message I have. Today we're beginning a new series of messages as we continue to teach through the Gospel of John. Now this series is called Jesus, the New Normal, and you may be pondering the question in your mind, what is normal? You know, this is a very subjective question because normal for one person may not be normal for someone else. Now, for example, it may be normal for you to take a cold shower in the morning. But that I would think that would be weird. And I certainly not normal for me. You know, it's the same with a particular society or community. Normal is not always the same for this community to that community or that country or this country. You know, everything is different. It's the same for a particular society or community. Normal is not always the same. However, this past year, normal is kind of a scarce thing in many ways. You know, as we're nearing the end of 2020, you know, some people are wondering if anything else could possibly happen to change our lifestyle, and yet still we have kind of settled into this kind of new pattern of life. You know, working from home has become more the norm. And wearing a mask when going to the store is not strange. And bumping elbows has replaced shaking hands or giving hugs. And of course, watching church online. It's a new normal. And even though this new way of life has become the norm, many of these changes were forced upon us, and we didn't have much choice in the matter. But in our own personal life, when it comes to spiritual matters, we always have a choice. And many people choose the way of the world as their norm, rather than choosing Jesus, the way of the cross. You know, in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14, it says this, "Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the road is broad that leads to destruction. And there are many who go through it. How narrow is the gate and difficult the road that leads to life, and few find it." You know, the broad road or the wide gate for many people is normal for them. And they choose this way because it's the easy way, or it's the fun way, or it's the lazy way. But just because it's the normal way does not mean it's the right way. You see, normal does not necessarily translate into truth. You know, the blockbuster movie Titanic, as you well know, was based on a true historical event. But the movie characters and the storyline was mostly fiction. However, there was one thing that was portrayed as true. While the ship was sinking, right, after it got hit by this iceberg, the orchestra kept playing and the people continued eating and dancing. While death and destruction was imminent, many people chose to ignore what was taking place all around them. Most would assume that they had no clue of the danger, but the whole time, others were scrambling for the lifeboats. See, this is a picture of our society today. People are going about their business as normal, but many of them are on this sinking ship, and they're ignoring the danger and the destruction. And even though there is a way to safety, they keep doing the things that they have always done. Just business as usual. Now, Jesus came to show us a new and better way, a different way other than the way of the world. In fact, Jesus came to show us that he is the way. In John's gospel, we have Jesus making seven statements or declarations called the I am statements. Now, these are declarations of his character and nature as to a different way other than the way of the world. In John chapter 6, Jesus says, "I am the bread of life." In John chapter 8, he says, "I am the light of the world." Now, in the scripture that we are going to look at today, Jesus makes two statements as to his nature and work. Jesus said, "I am the gate," or the door, "and I am the good shepherd." Now, both these images point to a new and better way. Now, in some ways, these two images of Jesus are the same, and yet there are still some subtle differences. And I will explain this in a bit. But first, let's turn to John chapter 10, and we're going to look through scriptures through 1 through 21. So let's begin with verse 1 in John chapter 10. Truly I tell you, anyone who doesn't enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens it for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he has brought all his own outside, he goes ahead of them. The sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will never follow a stranger. Instead, they will run away from him because they don't know the voice of strangers. Jesus gave them this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Now we're going to stop there. Jesus was having a conversation with the religious leaders, those called the Pharisees. And he tells them a parable. Now see, this is a short story or a word picture that has a particular meaning. And Jesus had a point he wanted the Pharisees to hear. And as always, he was teaching, it was a teaching moment for his disciples as well as for us. So to handle this scripture properly, we need to look at it in the context that it was written. See, we need to understand that this was a continuation of the same conversation with the man born blind. That is in John chapter 9. Now, as Jesus was talking to this man whom he healed, he asked him if he believed in the Son of Man. And this man who was once blind responded, "I believe, Lord." Then Jesus made this statement in verse 39. Said, "I came into this world for judgment, in order that those who do not see will see, and those who do see will become blind." See, some of the Pharisees who were listening responded to Jesus by saying, "We aren't blind too, are we?" See, this is the question that Jesus is responding to when he tells them this parable of the good shepherd in John chapter 10. What we need to understand to make sense of this parable is to know where we fit into the story. We are the sheep, and the sheep are our followers, right? We need someone to lead us and guide us because sheep have no sense of direction. God compares us to sheep because we are truly defenseless in this evil world, and we need someone to watch out for us and protect us. Now, the sheep pen or the sheepfold is a place that we feel safe and secure. And in the time of Jesus, a sheepfold was a large enclosed or fenced-in area in which sheep could spend the night. The sheep would enter and leave by the gate or a door. And during the night, a guard watches the sheep in the sheepfold and protects them. You know, after an evening's rest, the shepherd will rise, eat his breakfast, and eventually come and call his sheep to himself. It is important to note that a sheepfold will usually provide shelter for many flocks belonging to different shepherds. Yet the sheep will know the voice of their shepherd and follow only the shepherd's voice. Now, I believe that the sheepfold is a place that you go to feel safe and connected with other people. And I'm not speaking about a physical place, even though that could be a part of it, but an emotional and spiritual place where you feel comfortable and safe. It's a place of the heart. For someone that would be a church or religion. But for others, it could be their finances, or their family relationships, or the neighborhood bar, or some gang member's hood. You know, for the Pharisees, it was the synagogue and the law. Now, this place can be many things. It depends on who or what you're trusting in to live your life. And I think of the sheep pen as the world in which you live, and there are many shepherds. But see, there's only one good shepherd. God wants us to trust in him. So how do we know that we are trusting in the right thing or the right one. The scripture tells us that the gate or the door is the authentication for the truth. The thief and the robber climb over the fence, but the true shepherd comes through the gate. The good shepherd leads his flock through the gate, and we follow him because we know him. He leads us out into the world and again back to our place of security through the gate. In fact, Jesus is the gate. John chapter 10, verse 7, Jesus said again, "Truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep, and all who came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep didn't listen to them. I am the gate. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. A thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come so that they may have life and have it in abundance." Now, when I was in Israel one day, we were taken to a field where there was a rock enclosure by a cave, which at one time was used as a sheep fold. And you could see that there was an opening to this enclosure, closed area, where the shepherd would place himself to guard and protect the sheep. He would act as the gate himself, keeping the sheep in and the thieves out. See, the thieves or the robbers come to steal, kill, and destroy. This is the way of the world. The broad road is the way of destruction, not life. And even though people feel comfortable or normal in their pursuit of this so-called happiness, it's all a lie. But Jesus came to give us life in abundance, a life free from guilt and shame, a life of joy and peace. Now, the Apostle Peter tells us that we must be alert to the deception of this world, and especially the prince of this world. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 says, "Be sober-minded, be alert. Your adversary, the devil, is prowling around like a roaring lion, looking for anyone he can devour." Now, the devil and the world is not your friend. And he's not on your side. The thief wants to destroy you. However, the thief is not the only thing or the only one that we must be cautious about. Jesus also warns us about the hired hand. So if we go back to John chapter 10, verse 11 through 13, he says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, since he is not the shepherd, doesn't own the sheep, leaves them and runs away when he sees a wolf coming. The wolf snatches and scatters them. This happens because he is a hired hand and doesn't care about the sheep." See, the hired hand is a false shepherd who has no real concern for the sheep because they do not belong to him. The hired hand is like the thief in that he represents the way of the world. And this hired hand can be as dangerous or even more dangerous than the thief or the robber. The reason being is the hired hand appears to have your best interest at heart, but he really doesn't care at all about you. See, Jesus laid down his life for you and me, and he gave his life as an atonement for all the bad things and wrong things that we did and will do. We have abundant life, and we are free from sin and death. If we continue on, John chapter 14, it says, "I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. I lay down my life for the sheep, but I have other sheep that are not from this sheep pen. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. Then there will be one flock, one shepherd. This is why the Father loves me, because I lay down my life so that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own. I have the right to lay it down, and I have the right to take it up again. I have received this commandment from my Father." See, Jesus is the good shepherd, and we belong to him. This means that we are part of his life, and he is a part of our life. It's a love relationship. The world hates Jesus because they don't know him. But he knows us, and he laid down his life for us. Jesus also speaks of other sheep that belong to him. And in the context of this scripture, he's probably speaking about the Gentiles. Now, Jesus was a Jew, and he came to the Jewish people. But the plan, the intention of God was to bless all people through Jesus. Now, the word Gentile in the Greek language simply means nations. So a Gentile was simply those who were not Jews, but were of other people, another nation. And Jesus said that I have other sheep that I need to bring into the fold. And since most of us listening today are probably not Jewish, to my knowledge, this is really good news. And we must not forget that there are still other sheep that need to be brought into the fold today. You know, Jesus, the Good Shepherd, is not done gathering his flock to this new and different way of life. But many people reject his way, and that is why the road is broad and wide that leads to destruction. You know, people have always been divided on this subject, particularly on the person Jesus. It was that way from the beginning. So in John chapter 10, verse 19 through 21, it says, again, the Jews were divided because of these words. Many of them were saying, he has a demon and he's crazy. Why do you listen to him? Others were saying, these aren't the words of someone who is demon-possessed. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? Now, this gets back to the question about blindness. Jesus came to open the eyes of the spiritually blind so that they may see a new and different way. But those who believe that the way of the world is the right way are blind to the truth of God, and they remain in their sin. Destruction is imminent unless they believe and trust in Jesus as the new normal in their life. Now, some people will say that this way of thinking is very narrow and restrictive, and they may be right, but this is not my opinion or my own personal belief. See, it's the truth of God supported by the Bible. Remember that the gate is narrow and the road difficult that leads to life. You can dismiss Jesus all you want as being crazy or not relevant to your life, but you can't deny what he has done for the countless number of people. He has touched millions of lives and changed their hearts for good. So how does that apply to our lives today? How does this story, you know, be applicable to our lives? What does it mean when we say that we believe Jesus is the good shepherd and the gate to the fold? What benefits do we have when we choose this new and different way? You know, the kingdom of God, or the realm of God, is a place where God reigns or rules. And in the spiritual realm of our life, that would be the heart. And when we open our heart and our life to Jesus, we are letting him in to shepherd us and to protect us from the evil of this world. And there are some things that we can know and should know. First and foremost, you should know that Jesus cares for you. Jesus cares for you. One of the most outstanding characteristics of Jesus was his love and compassion. See, Jesus, the Good Shepherd, is concerned and interested in people. They matter to him, and you matter to him. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30, it says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take up my yoke and learn from me, because I am lowly and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Our soul can be a terrible burden in our life when it's weighed down by the things of this world, such as guilt and shame. But Jesus wants us to have rest from this burden because he cares about us. It's a wonderful thing to have someone who cares for you. Secondly, you should know that Jesus knows you and we can know him. Whether you know this or not, Jesus knows who you are and everything about you, and yet he loves you unconditionally. You know, the shepherd knows his sheep, and the sheep know the shepherd's voice, right? He's not an impersonal God who has left us high and dry. He gave us the Holy Spirit to guide and teach us and to give us comfort. You know, on the day of Pentecost, just 10 days after Jesus returned to heaven, Peter, one of the 12 disciples of Jesus, preached a powerful message about Jesus. And it touched the hearts of the people, the place they felt safe, the place that they would trust someone. So they asked Peter, what should we do? And in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, Peter replies this, repent and be baptized, each of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. See, the gift of the Holy Spirit is the gate by which we come in and go out to find rest and safety. Finally, you should know that Jesus gave up his own life for you. You know, when John the Baptist saw Jesus, he said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. See, Jesus became our sacrificial lamb that atoned for, that paid for our sin. You know, every sin that you have ever done or thought about, and every sin that you will do in your life, Jesus paid for it with his own blood. And he did it because he loves you. And in Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 8, the Apostle Paul says this, for while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For rarely will someone die for a just person. Though for a good person, perhaps someone might even dare to die. But God proves his own love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Now, this is why the story of Jesus is called good news. It's a message of hope in a world that is heading for destruction. See, there is abundant life in Jesus, our Lord. Now, Jesus is the good shepherd who laid down his life for us so that we may have a new and better life. It's a different way of life that is full and it's an abundant, a new normal way. So how should we respond to this message of hope and good news? I believe that our first response should be praise to God. Praise to God, our Father, for this tremendous gift of life and abundance through Jesus Christ. We should honor God every day for our safe place that he provides for us. Secondly, we should be thankful for our opportunity to go out into the world as the Holy Spirit leads us to others, so that they may be introduced to this good shepherd and this abundant life as well. Amen? And I want to thank you for listening, and I pray that you can open your heart right now and say yes to Jesus, yes to this new and different way.